Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
What's up, guys? Ryan Sprague here, and I'm just dropping in to remind you about our Patreon campaign. Somewhere in the Skies is always free to consume, but it's not free to create. So if you want to help the show on a monthly basis, we have tons of rewards for you in return, including shoutouts on the show and website, bonus content and episodes, and free merch. Want to be my guest or pick a topic for the show? You can do that too. So if you'd like to learn more and to help support the show, visit patreon.com/somewhereskies. Thank you, and keep looking up.
This is Somewhere in the Skies with Ryan Sprague.
My name is Sean, and I live just outside of Nashville, Tennessee. This is my story about a UFO that I witnessed several years ago. I don't remember exactly how long ago it was, but it was probably around 7 or 8 years ago. The time of day was between 4 and 5 o'clock in the afternoon. The sky was clear with no clouds, so visibility was excellent. Sometime between 4 and 5 in the afternoon, I walked outside of my house to just go check my mail. And I stepped out onto my front porch, and as I shut the door behind me, something told me that I needed to look up. And when I did, I saw a long, white, cigar-shaped object that was flying low in the sky, pretty much directly in front of me. And it was flying in a north-to-south direction. I estimate that it was anywhere between 500 to 1,000 feet in the air, and it was approximately 100 feet in length, so this was a rather large object in my opinion. It had no wings, no tail, no visible means of propulsion, and I saw no windows. And it also didn't make a sound at all. I stood there for what seemed like, I don't know, several minutes, just watching it slowly move from the north to the south in the sky. And I was frozen in place. After all, I was just going out to check my mail. You know, I wasn't expecting to see something like a UFO. And like I said, it seemed like I was standing there watching it for what seemed like several minutes. Time just seemed to slow down. But in reality, it probably wasn't more than about 30 to 60 seconds before I came to my senses and realized that what I was seeing wasn't a conventional aircraft. I watched it for just a few more seconds, trying to determine exactly what this thing was that I was seeing, and I suddenly realized that, man, I needed to get a picture of whatever this thing is. And so I ran back inside to grab my cell phone, and when I was doing that, I called for my wife at the same time, and I said, "You've got to come out here and see this. I think it's a UFO." So I ran back onto the porch with my wife behind me, and the object was gone. It had vanished. So I ran into the front yard, and I began just scanning the skies. First, looking in the direction that this thing had been heading in, and then just scanning the skies, looking around in all 360 degrees. And this thing was gone. Nowhere to be found. Now, it was moving so slow when I ran back inside to grab my phone. And there was no way it could have simply just disappeared in the 5 whole seconds it took me to get my phone. My phone was on the coffee table in the living room, so it literally took me just a few seconds to grab it. Whatever it was, had to accelerate at an incredible rate of speed to disappear that fast. There's no noise, no sonic boom from something like, you know, breaking the sound barrier, nothing. It was completely gone, vanished. The whole event couldn't have lasted more than about 5 minutes. Now, my wife must have thought that I was crazy, even though she said she believed me, and I have to admit, I felt a little crazy myself. But I know that I saw something. I just don't know what exactly the something that I saw was. Now, here's a couple of things about me that you need to know. First off, I'm a former government employee, and because of my job, I held a top secret clearance. I worked for the Army, and I was around a lot of aircraft. It was mostly rotary wing, but I've spent some time around some fixed wing aircraft as well. I didn't work on the aircraft, nor did I fly them. My job was something completely different, but I was around them just about every day that I was at work. Now, that's about all that I can say about what I did because of the nature of my job. I know what kind of rotary wing aircraft it is without even seeing it. I've been around them so much that I know what kind of aircraft it is, what type it is just by the sound of it. So I know how to tell the difference between a fixed wing and a rotary wing. I know the sounds they make, and I definitely know what they look like. And what I saw didn't look like anything like either one of those two type of aircraft. Now, second, I live about 20 minutes away from the Nashville International Airport. My home is almost directly in line with an approach zone and a departure zone, so I've got a lot of airplanes that fly over my home. I mean, a lot. Every day, in fact. Now, they don't fly too low because I live in a rather large subdivision. But I would estimate that the lowest that they fly would be around 1,000 feet. However high or low it is, it's low enough that you can see the black dots where the windows are supposed to be, and you can see the wings of the plane, you can see the tail, you can see the engines, and you can definitely hear the engines as well. I see all sizes of passenger planes pretty much every day, so I know what they look like, and I know what they sound like. The point I'm trying to make is I've been around a lot of aircraft of all types for a lot of years, and what I saw wasn't a conventional aircraft. Whatever it was flying a little lower than what these passenger planes fly in their approach and departure zones, and it was flying way too slow for one of those big planes to fly. I would think that if a passenger plane was flying at that slow of a rate of speed, that it would literally just fall right out of the sky. What I saw was definitely as big as a passenger plane, and it was white in color, but that's where the similarities begin and end. It was shaped like a cigar, and it was initially flying way too slow for a passenger plane to safely fly. It had no windows that I could see. It had no wings or tail, and it made no sound at all. Now, even though I didn't have eyes on it whenever it disappeared, it did it so fast that any human that would have been in that object, in that UFO or whatever it was, anybody that would have been in that thing would have been crushed by the G-force generated by the acceleration. So that's it. That's my story. It's not some amazing UFO story. I didn't get abducted. I don't have any missing time. I don't suffer from any physical or psychological effects from it or anything like that. I simply saw something that I can't explain. I don't know what it was, but I know what it wasn't. It wasn't a conventional aircraft. That I know for a fact. Thank you for taking the time to listen to my story. I'd love to know what you or any of your listeners think about it. Thank you.
My name is Montserrat Panetta. Friends call me Monsi, and I've had what appears to be a lifelong relationship with unidentified flying objects. I was born in Chile in 1961. My father had received a prestigious Rockefeller scholarship, which allowed my family to move to the States while he attended university. Upon receiving his master's and PhD, a doctorate in veterinary medicine, we returned back home to the Los Rios region of Valdivia, where my family owned a ranch. On the evening of my first event, my extended family had gathered for a reunion celebrating our return. After dinner that evening, some of us gathered outside, and because there was no electricity, the remote landscape was pitch black. Suddenly, a light was noticed through the tree line near the river's edge, traveling and weaving, while simultaneously our two dogs began barking quite loudly and taking off toward it. I heard an adult in the group wonder out loud who might be coming to visit. They assumed it was a car, but oddly, that wouldn't make sense as there was only one road in and it was nowhere near the river. Unexpectedly, a bright light appeared overhead. Our group mesmerized, looking up. No one said a word, no sound, just the stillness of the night and a sense of something huge looming overhead. It slowly took off, its bright light shining across hundreds of acres. I stood by the barn along with other children, watching in awe as this event unfolded. My siblings and parents would each later recall being in different parts of the homestead that night. Interestingly, no one could figure out who the other mysterious children were. We heard on the car radio as we headed home that some fishermen a few miles away had encountered an unexplained object the same night. Our family never discussed it until years later, after other events unfolded. Many strange synchronicities would occur over the years, especially after we came back to the States in the late 60s. Fast forward to the early morning of January 2007. After 20-plus successful years in corporate, I now had the privilege of being a stay-at-home mom. And that particular January morning, like clockwork, I walked my two children down the long driveway in the dark to await the school bus. As they chatted among themselves looking in the opposite direction, I was mesmerized by a sphere now weaving and floating towards us. It was softly glowing inside. It was about the size of a basketball, and it was traveling only a few feet above the road toward me and below the tree line. It was quiet, and oddly, I was calm, except for the rush of adrenaline I now sensed flowing through my veins. It felt conscious, and yet I was not afraid. In fact, my feelings were one of recognition of it. Yet this had never happened before. It began to dematerialize as soon as the school bus strolled in. I watched it cloak, traveling over the bus toward the front pasture as my kids were boarding, and it floated over my neighbor Don's roof, and it disappeared. Back inside the house I went, and well rested from the previous night's sleep, I usually would have 20 or more chores to do, and yet, perhaps in shock, I felt suddenly the urge to go lie down for a nap. I awoke 4 hours later to a sound unlike anything I had ever heard. The glass windows throughout the house were rattling loudly to the vibration of what sounded like a military helicopter above my roof. I bolted up, disoriented, and ran downstairs to look, but now there was complete silence. Several hours later, kids back from school and were hanging out in the den when suddenly that helicopter sound began again. My windows are rattling, and by this point I'm pissed off. I'm wondering why some idiot in a helicopter is flying so close to my roof. I felt like my windows were going to break, and so I run outside. But again, nothing was there, and the sound had stopped. I'm confused and really trying hard to process what is happening. Later that evening, out to dinner with my husband, I share these odd events as the kids are playing nearby. And on our return home, while everyone else is upstairs getting ready for bed, I'm in the kitchen prepping our lunches. And as I stand by the island facing a different pasture that is behind my pool fence, a light of some kind is now traveling slowly along the fence line, and it's just a few feet off the ground. It's very luminous, and I watch it in between the fence crack. I step outside quietly, and I go in to investigate. Again, the sound of a helicopter above, and yet it's pitch dark and nothing else. I don't understand what's going on. Up until that night, I had never been interested in, nor had I pursued anything related to the study of UFOs. I did reach out to MUFON on this one occasion after the event of 2007, and I was informed that three other cases within a few miles of my home had actually been reported on the same day. Now, while traveling in Peru a couple years later, in fact in 2009, I had sensed their presence. I began to shoot video, but it would be several years later when trying to transfer that video format to another device that I discovered that I had a UFO in my shot. The picture is proof of UFO being real, and it is pinned on my @MysticMonsi Twitter account. I've always felt guided and protected, and even more so now, as I on any given day or night do sense their presence, and I do see their craft often. It is always benevolent for me. It has brought me deeper and a more profound connection to God, and I'm really feeling blessed any time I see them in our skies.
Hello, everyone. Stephen Lloyd here. I've been invited to talk about my UFO experience back in the early 90s. I was 19 or 20 at the time, and I was attending BAC College in Grand City, Illinois. Before all this happened, I was a skeptic. I'd always been a skeptic. I never believed in such things, even though I'm a huge fan of the original three Star Wars movies and Close Encounters of the Third Kind. But I didn't believe, like millions of other people out there who have a hard time believing UFOs exist, other planets with life forms on them exist. But I am a firm believer, sitting here today and tell you that they do exist. But in the early 90s, I was sitting at a intersection waiting for the light to change, and I saw something moving out of the corner of my eye. And I thought it was a blimp or a balloon of some sort, a hot air balloon. And as it got closer, I realized it was moving way too quick to be either one of those. And then it came into view so clear at one point that I realized that I'd never seen anything like it before in my life. It was a silver ball about the size, probably about the size of a tractor trailer maybe. It passed over the intersection and made no noise whatsoever when it crossed. People started honking their horns, letting other people know what was going on, but I already knew what was going on, and it was exciting. My heart was beating so fast that I could hardly accept what was going on, because I'd been a skeptic the whole time, my whole life up until that point. And as it silently made its way over the intersection, heading toward Granite City, Illinois, about 4 miles down the road, I'd say probably about maybe a minute or minute and a half after it crossed over, there were three, maybe four fighter jets following it. Of course, we didn't see these jets until they were up right up on us. And man, they were loud, passing over. And I'm in this silver ball and these jets chasing it. They were probably about 30 feet above the lights. They were flying pretty damn low, and I just couldn't believe what I was seeing. You know, I had a guy roll down his window next to me, and he's like, "Did you see that shit?" And we were both laughing and just carrying on like it was the best thing in the world, you know. And I don't know if the guy across from me believed in them before this, but I know I didn't. And the light changed back to red. Of course, most of us missed, you know, a chance to go, but we just could not believe what we had seen. When I got over to the college, I got in class. I started telling all my classmates, man, you're not going to believe what I just saw. And of course, they didn't believe me. I wouldn't have believed me either. You know, I thought it was kind of funny that at one time I would have been them, you know, not believing someone. But we're not alone in this galaxy. We're not. We're definitely not alone. You know, the world, the galaxy. We cannot be the only ones. You know, having a life. There's got to be other worlds out there that we have not even come close to seeing. You know, there's just no way. Of course, I told my parents when I got home, and at the time I was still living there with them, and they didn't believe me either. My little brother thought he got a kick out of it. He was a little younger than me. I just knew there was going to be something on the news about it. There had to be. It was, you know, there had to be something aired about the sighting. But after a week, nothing. There was no reports about it or nothing else. And I was too young to think about calling Scott Air Force Base, which is based out past probably about 40 miles out past Fairview Heights, Illinois. I didn't call them, you know. I guess, you know, thinking about it now, they probably would have lied and said that I was crazy. There was nothing out there. Of course, there had to have been something out there to have their jets out there, the Air Force chasing it. It was just a memorable experience that I will never forget. It changed my whole outlook on everything. Just one of those things that you dwell on. You don't talk too much about it, you know, but because people think you're crazy. Of course, people think you're crazy have never seen anything, not yet, but in their life. But it was memorable. It was exciting. It was an adrenaline rush, and I'm glad I was there to see it all go down. I just thought it was just absolutely amazing. And it'll change your life. It'll change your whole outlook on what you think, you know. And I've always said this too. Human beings have been on this planet for millions of years. And you can't tell me that in the last 120 years we've come up with what we've come up with today. It's like, why didn't they come out with this stuff millions of years ago? Planes, automobiles, things like that. Something's behind it. There was some intelligence that got to somebody and started teaching them, you know. And it's just weird that we've come as far as we have and what we have today. Computers, cars, airplanes, computers where, you know, about the size of your thumbnail, even smaller. Where did all the technology come from? That's something to think about. Did it come from outer space? Could be. But that is my story about my first UFO encounter. And maybe one of these days I'll have another one. Who knows?
UFOs seem to be invading both our skies and our news outlets like never before. And more people are starting to look up and are wondering who or what might be out there. In 2016, Ryan Sprague introduced the world to countless UFO encounters that had never been made public before. And now, in the second edition of his book, he revisits these events and introduces brand new UFO cases in Somewhere in the Skies, a human approach to the UFO phenomenon. How have these events changed the lives of those involved? And what might it tell us about the phenomenon? With in-depth follow-ups, brand new chapters, and detailed testimony from credible witnesses and insight from those in the psychological, academic, and scientific fields, Somewhere in the Skies, a human approach to the UFO phenomenon, weaves together a story of stories, attempting to get to the heart of these mysteries one experience at a time. Available now on Amazon in both paperback and ebook. To learn more, visit somewhereintheskies.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
It's July 18th, 2020. About 11 o'clock at night, my wife and I came out to take some pictures of Comet Neowise before it was gone. We're sitting in the backyard facing north towards the comet. We have a few acres here. It's a 20-acre farm field behind our house. That's surrounded by a ridge line of trees. And we're sitting in chairs. We had just got done taking pictures. And I see off to my left, which is the west, a bright light. I thought it was like a little blue beam, but I credit that to being the reflection off my glasses, just the way it was. I don't know if there was an actual beam or not. But anyways, look off to my left, and I'm like, why is that bright light? I see this light that's shining through the trees as it's moving, kind of, you know, the way sunlight does with leaves and stuff. But so I get up out of my chair and I walk north a little ways, and I'm watching this light as it's just coming. I don't know how else to say it, but it's coming, flying towards us. Well, it's south of us actually, but it's coming along the tree line or in the sky. And I think maybe 5-10 seconds went by, and I'm like, oh crap, grab the camera, film this. So I went and got my camera, and I'm starting to film it, and it's just going over. It's not making a sound. It's not doing anything remarkable. It's just going. I'm like, oh, okay, well, that's different. So I filmed it. It went out of sight because we were lost in the trees off to the east of us. And put the camera down. I pull out my phone because I'm like, I'm going to check flight radar. It's an app you can get. It shows you all the location of any aircraft in the sky around you. It gives you the altitude, speed, heading, whatnot. And I'm curious, what kind of aircraft was that? And there's no aircraft in our area according to that app. Nothing. And I know in the video the light looks purplish, but it was a low light camera. Psyonix Aurora is the type of camera. It's like a digital night vision type. It's a poor man's night vision because I only paid like $300 for it, maybe a little more. And but to the naked eye, it looked like a pure, beautiful white light, just intense white light with maybe a tinge of blue to it. Well, okay, a good analogy is a welder's arc. It looked like when you look over at somebody that's welding, it looked like that. Just bright white with a little bit of blue. So I go inside the house after that. I'm like, ask my wife, did you see it? She's like, no. She never got up to look. She now regrets that. She wishes she would have. But I go in the house and I look at the clock and it's 11:33. So I upload it from the camera to my computer and I watch it a couple times. I'm like, man, that is really interesting. I know it wasn't the ISS. I know it wasn't a Chinese lantern, because Chinese lantern, you can always, you see the fire at the bottom of it. You can see the light gradient, the intensity of the light's difference, all at the bottom, even though the whole lantern's lit up. If it was a drone, I'm an avid drone pilot myself, I'd like to see that person set up, because one, I didn't hear it, and I can hear mine at 400 feet. And two, the battery system or battery setup, the weight that would require to be that intense of a light, I would have heard that, the props on that drone, because it would have had to have some serious batteries and weight to be able to be that bright. I'm not saying it's aliens. I'm saying I don't know what it was. That's all I'm saying. I eventually got a hold of Columbus Approach out of Columbus, the air traffic control tower, and asked them if they had any radar returns on an aircraft that flew over our house at that time. The guy was wondering why I'm asking that question. I didn't really want to say, hey, I saw a bright ball of light fly over my house. I was just saying an aircraft. Eventually, I had to tell him it was a bright ball of light, and I'm sure he thought, oh, great, I get all these weirdos on a Monday. I described what it was. He didn't really sound interested until I said I had it on video. He asked for a copy of the video. I sent him a copy of the video. And then I got an email asking for a detailed report on it. Sent that to him. I'm sure I'm leaving things out here. I'm trying not to. Didn't hear back from him for a couple days. I emailed him again. And he asked for my mailing address or home address. And that made me a little nervous because I like my privacy. I really don't want people coming and knocking on my door. But I gave it to him because I figured, screw it, you know, what the hell. So I gave it to him. He said he was going to send me a letter. He never has. I did file a Freedom of Information request for the radar returns out of Columbus between the hours of 10:45 p.m. and 11:30 p.m. of that night. We'll see where it goes. As far as how it made me feel, I felt really calm. And I don't know, it felt like I was meant to see it. I know it sounds stupid. I don't get it. It was just, I felt like I was meant to see that at that point in time for some reason. And why? I don't know. It was like a very, I don't want to say personal experience, because damn, anyone look up at sky could have seen that thing, but I don't know how to describe it. It just felt different. It felt good. And whatever it was beautiful.
Oh, I saw my second UFO on Thursday. Do you want to hear about that?
Okay, back up. Second?
Welcome to Nooks and Crannies. Maddie here. I'm joined by my speculative and inquisitive co-host, Evan.
I think I wasn't present for the last two episodes, but I'm very happy to be back with you, Maddie. Talk to me about these UFOs you're seeing. How are you? You feeling okay? What's going on here?
Well, yeah, okay, so this is my second one. So I'll tell you the most recent one, and then we'll do the original one, the OG alien sighting. So it was Thursday, about 4 o'clock in the morning. I was, like, just, you know, drinking my coffee, taking my medicine, getting ready for my paper route, right? Just like, oh, God, I hate my life.
That's prime alien hours.
Yeah, well, that's what, you know, it's like with the witching hour, right? Between 3 and 4. So I look off to, like, say, like a 2 o'clock position, like on a clock. And I see a band of like 6 to 7 lights. It was an odd number, in a vertical kind of orientation, and the streak was slightly curved, like if the butt end of the C was pointing to the right, I guess, just a little bit. And there was a smoky trail going off the back of it. And as I was looking at it, it would turn, say, like 10 degrees to the left and then turn like 10 degrees to the right and kind of do a little bit of a around its center kind of like swivel. And very kind of slowly, but too fast for like conventional aircraft. And at that point, I was like, this is crazy. Like, I'm just going to stare at this and take it all in, right? At that point, I'm like, oh, no. Because I was drinking my morning coffee at 4 in the morning. I'm like, oh, no. I had to take a shit. I had to run inside because honestly, man, if I didn't like clench, it was coming out. Like I almost like crapped my pants just from the coffee and like being almost 40.
Oh, you don't have to describe the sensation. I know it well. Oh, I think we've all been there.
So I come rushing back from the bathroom, like, please still be there, because it was moving slow enough then there wasn't enough any houses kind of obstructing its path. And I come out and look where it should be, maybe like 3 inches to the right, and it's just gone. What do you think about that?
Well, it's got me wondering, do you think lights on a UFO, are they A, used for navigation, B, used to identify, like, whatever things they need to see? Or C, is it just the byproduct? Because you'd think if alien crafts came over, they wouldn't need lights for, like, navigatory purposes. They'd probably have better stuff going on, no? So what's the lights? What are they doing with these lights on?
Well, maybe it's D, they just want to be noticed.
Oh, it's a peacocking type thing.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's what I would like to believe. Because, you know, I'm, like, quite the believer. So, yeah, I saw that, and it was, like, the other thing that I was thinking, like, I live on Vancouver Island, so there's a Canadian Forces base nearby and a U.S. Forces base, like, across the channel of water there. But, I mean, I've seen their, like, really kind of, like, borderline classified helicopters going by, and they're loud as shit. This thing was dead silence, and it was moving quickly. Like, it was rather large. I would say, like, if I was looking at it, it was 1.5, 2 inches, sort of from top to bottom. But it seemed like closer, but maybe also further away. And it was spooky, man. And there was like a contrail behind it as well. So like, I don't know if that's just like an atmospheric thing. I've seen meteors and things, you know, up in the Okanagan and what have you. It wasn't that. And the band of lights was like 7, and it was in a line, and it looked like kind of a C.
Well, I mean, it would be the year for that, you know, if we're about to find out some horrifying, shocking details about the cosmic scale of things, this would be the year we find that out. So, that's your most recent sighting, but you said your second sighting, so let's hear about the first one. This is news to me.
Yeah, I keep this a little bit quiet, but not as quiet as I keep the fact that I have ESP. You know that? All right, so the first one was like 10 years ago, right? I was off camping in a cabin in the woods, believe it or not, in Boston Bar with some buddies. And, you know, like, it was late at night. It was probably like 2:30, crystal clear sky. For whatever reason, me and my buddy Johnny were just lying on like the logging road that like kind of abates the kind of cabins there in Boston Bar, and just looking at the stars as you do late night camping. And you know, I had been drinking, but not excessively. It was a bunch of my Muslim friends, so like I don't go nuts when I camp with them. Smoking weed, but like I smoke it medicinally, so that if anything, it just makes me more clear headed. Believe me, folks. And so I wasn't like hammered or anything, and like the world spinning or anything like this. And I'm just lying there with Johnny. We're like, wow, the stars are crazy, man. This is awesome. And, you're seeing some shooting stars and stuff like this. And from like the right corner of our eye, we see this dot that is moving pretty quickly, from one edge of the horizon all the way over. It stops at the tree that is blocking our view. No shit, Evan. It goes up to the left, down, and then just continues off to the left. Like, it was like, that's what I'm thinking, like, they want to be seen. And we were just, like, chatting, and then as soon as I noticed it, I just went quiet, and he went quiet. And we, without saying anything to each other, eyes were locked on this thing, and it went by. And I looked at him like, bro, did you see that? And he's like, yeah, man. I'm like, that wasn't no like shooting star, right? It was like a circle that was much like more diameter than a pinhole. It'd be like almost like if you went halfway down on the tip of a pencil, like about that big, right? And it, yeah, it did that move around the tree. And I'm like, I've never seen anything do that. It's not a satellite either. I've seen satellites and they just go in a single trajectory across your field of vision. They don't make a fucking upwards left hand and then a downwards turn and then another left and go around a tree just so they can be seen, right? And as we're chatting about this, we hear behind us, like that. Not a bear, bro. A fucking cougar. Like, you do not typically hear cougars. And then it goes, and it comes, like, tumbling down this hill because there's, like, a bit of a, like, a slope behind us. Forested, thank God. And it comes, like, barrel-assing down this hill. We're like, cougar, and we book it into the cabin, lock the door, like, throw the chair under the handle and everything. There's, like, four of our buddies out around the campfire. We're like, oh, shit, guys, come in, it's a cougar. and so just like on Thursday when I almost shit myself, and here we almost got eaten by a cougar. So it's weird, like, when I view UFOs, it's like a moment before extreme danger.
I can't imagine that the extent of what exists happens to exist within our sensory perceptive fields. So when you see stuff like that, who the hell knows, you know? I am no rational skeptic in terms of these types of things. I want to believe, and I believe.
Well, I certainly got that belief reinforced on Thursday. Now, this is the kicker. This is the real kicker. Out of nowhere, this guy, Ryan Sprague, who's like a UFO guy, he's kind of like Rob from Our Strange Skies, but he has like TV shows and YouTube channels, really popular and all this sort of stuff. He sends me a direct message, and I'm like, Ryan Sprague, I know that name. And he's like, hey, I saw your comment on Rob's post, which was like 8 months ago, right? I commented like, hey, I've seen a UFO, like, you want me to come out and tell the story, Rob? And he just reached out that day at like 7 a.m and I saw the UFO at 4 a.m out of nowhere.
Whoa.
So I'm going to clip this up and send it over to Ryan for sure.
Oh, there's some bizarre serendipity going on there.
I think so. It's a little creepy, but it's also like, because of my ESP, I'm like, well, I know they're there, so it's just kind of fun that I got to see another one. Like, I didn't think that would happen. I thought I would just get to see one. So, here's to many more.
Somewhere in the Skies is produced by Third Kind Productions in association with the Entertainment One Podcast Network.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.